Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older and so is my mom. And what a great show we have for you tonight. I have two very, very good friends in the studio. I know them both professionally and personally, and they are both really, really, really good at what they do. And on top of that, they're great people. I'll tell you a little bit more in a second. Of course, we're now on four radio stations. We're here live on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, Monday night at 5 o'clock. We hope if you're up and down 95, you're being careful and cautious, and keeping your hands on the wheel and off your cell phones. If you're listening up on Long Island at 103.9, Long Island's Talk Radio Station, or in Gainesville at 104.9, Gainesville's Talk Radio Station. We welcome you. It's Wednesday night. We hope you had a great day. And of course, if you're on 95.9 FM, The Palm, it's Saturday morning and it's supposed to be a great day ahead, although a little chilly, I'm told. Anyway, my guests tonight, Anthony Palmieri and Mitchell Kittroser, are here. And tonight we're going to talk about guardianship, and we're going to talk about guardianship as well as alternatives, with a focus a little bit on elder exploitation and abuse as well. We have a lot to cover, and I will give you their full bios in just a moment. But first, I want to thank Ibis Country Club. I was fortunate enough to be asked to speak there last week. We had about 60 people there. We're talking about Alzheimer's and dementia. It was great. If you are not familiar with Ibis Country Club and you're looking for a home down here in Palm Beach County, their clubhouse may be the nicest clubhouse I have ever seen anywhere. It's spectacular. But I want to thank them. They were very gracious and generous. I also want to congratulate Alpert Jewish Family and Children's Services. They did Cafe Europa last week. We have always been involved in there. 300 Holocaust survivors still come together. And it seems that every year somebody meets somebody from their town or who knew somebody, was related in some way. And again, it happened, and it's always a wonderful experience. So I want to congratulate Alpert for doing that again. There was a wonderful article in the Palm Beach Post, if you didn't see it, about the event, and I encourage you to look that up. But now to my guests, and we have a lot to talk about, so I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time. Anthony Palmieri is here. Anthony is the Deputy Inspector General and Chief Guardianship Investigator in the County Clerk and Comptroller's Office for Palm Beach County's Accredited Division of Inspector General. He graduated from the University of Florida with a bachelor's and the Barry University School of Law with a Juris Doctorate. He is a certified internal auditor, certified inspector general investigator. He holds a certification in control self-assessment and is preparing to sit for the certified fraud exam. Anthony is a nationally recognized expert and speaker on guardianship fraud and has been invited to testify before the Nevada Supreme Court, the Tennessee Bar, and the Florida Legislature. He has been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, the Daily Business Review, the Las Vegas Journal Review, and the Palm Beach Post, as well as the Sun Sentinel and the Chattanooga Times. He's a board member at large of the Florida State Guardianship Association. And in September 2016, Anthony represented the clerk's office in Berlin, Germany, by winning the 4th World Congress on Adult Guardianship, Legal Protection of Adults with Particular Regard to Senior Citizens Best Practice Model Competition. The clerk's office was one of only 9 international winners and the only winner representing the United States. Mitch Kittroser is here. He is the founder and managing partner of Kittroser & Associates, a law firm focusing on guardianship, elder law, wills, trusts, probate, trust administration, Medicaid planning, special needs planning, including the formation of special needs trusts. Real estate purchases and sales as well are part of his mix. Small business formation and representation, emergency planning, and end-of-life planning. He's one busy guy. Mr. Kittroser is AV rated by Martindale Hubble, the highest possible rating for an attorney. He is a member of the National Association of Elder Law Attorneys, the Academy of Florida Elder Law Attorneys, the real property and trust section of the Florida Bar, the elder law section of the Palm Beach County Bar, and he is an affiliate member of the Florida State Guardianship Association. So welcome, guys. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. I'm very excited about your being here. Obviously, we know each other well, so it's easy for us to talk about subjects that we have talked about before. I guess if you're here in South Florida, guardianship's a hot button topic. It's been in the newspaper a lot, not always favorably, but there's a tremendous amount of misunderstanding about guardianship, about the different types of guardianship that are available. Why don't we start with what is guardianship? Just what is guardianship?
Well, we all start out as, and the term of art is a ward. We all start out as wards with somebody as our guardian. And when we're children, our guardians are our parents usually. And they're the people that make decisions for us. Until we turn 18, we're not really legally able to make decisions. We can't own property on our own. And our parents act as our guardians. They take care of us. They make decisions. If there's a medical issue, they decide it for us. If there's investments that we have property, they make those decisions for us. When we turn 18, the law presumes that we are then adults. Suddenly on that day, some magical checkbox gets checked, and we're now adult people. And from there, all the stuff that our parents used to do for us, they can't do anymore. So one of the things that people are surprised to find out is as they send their children off to college, they'd better get powers of attorney and healthcare surrogate documents signed by their kids before they leave. Or if their child gets hurt at school, they're not going to be able to find out much about what's going on. In an emergency, if your child is away at school and gets hurt, is unconscious in a hospital, you as a parent are not going to be able to get information about that due to federal HIPAA laws. So we want to make sure that everyone takes care of that on their way off, sending their kids to school. What people typically think of as guardianship, though, is the later in life guardianship things. Take Aunt Sally, who's 85 years old and is becoming forgetful, has food in her freezer that's spoiling, food in her refrigerator that's spoiling, can't really remember much about what's going on, can't pay her bills anymore, and needs help. And that's when family members typically step in. They apply to the court to become her guardian, and they get appointed. And there's a process that we go through anytime we do a guardianship proceeding in order to make sure that Aunt Sally's rights are protected, that the people who are applying are the right people, that they're suitable, that they're acceptable to the court, they satisfy the statute. And then once they're appointed as guardian, that they comply with the law, they follow the statutes, and they don't run into trouble with our inspector general or the auditors over at the courthouse.
So, Anthony, as the inspector general, well, before I get to all the newspaper and the abuse reality versus headlines, there are different types of guardianship, right? There's different people can be guardians. It's not always a professional guardian necessarily.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the vast majority of guardianships in Palm Beach County and in Florida are the guardian is a family member or a close friend of the person under guardianship. But there is another category of guardian, a professional guardian, that has received, you know, 40 hours of training, undergoes a criminal background check with the state of Florida, undergoes a consumer credit report, and has continuing education requirements through the state. But the vast majority of guardianships are the family category.
And yet, when we talk about abuses, the stuff that makes headlines, that is almost always focused on the professional guardian, and that's not always accurate. Maybe the reporting on a particular story may be accurate.
But. Sure. Well, it definitely seems disproportionate. Again, the vast majority of the cases, guardianships are our family members. And, you know, since the clerk's guardianship fraud program was started in 2011, we've looked at about 1,000 guardianship cases. And the vast majority of the issues that we've identified have been from that family guardian category. That's not to say that it's not bad professional guardians or bad attorneys or bad whatever the category it may be. I'm just saying, the vast majority of the issues that we're seeing are from that family member category.
And you both represent different components, and we're going to talk about all of the players, because guardianship isn't just guardian and ward. There's a lot of other players involved. The reality is that, and both of you from a different perspective can talk to this, is that nothing happens in the world of guardianship that is not in one way, shape, form, or other approved by or overseen by the judiciary, right? Is that accurate?
That's right. Guardianship does not happen until several things happen. The first thing that happens is, and I represent both professional and family member guardians. The first thing that happens is I file a petition to have, and we'll use Aunt Sally as our example, Aunt Sally determined to be incapacitated. And before anything else happens, the court immediately gets involved once I file my petition, and Aunt Sally gets a lawyer. Now, Aunt Sally can hire her own lawyer if she wants to, but even if she can't afford a lawyer will be appointed for her, and that's analogous to people who are listening are probably thinking that sounds a lot like our criminal system,
right,
where a criminal defendant gets a lawyer even if they can't afford one. The same is true in guardianship. Aunt Sally will get a lawyer, and the lawyer's job is to protect her rights, to make sure that I, as the filing attorney, am not just trying to roll over her and take control of her assets, and my guardian is trying to do something they're not supposed to do. So right away, there's some protection for Aunt Sally in a guardianship proceeding. The next thing that happens is three members of our community are appointed to go out and examine her and file reports with the court. One will be a doctor, one will be a psychologist, and one will be a layperson. But these are folks that do this all the time. So they're used to going out and they're used to making reports, and they file their reports with the court. Before Aunt Sally is determined to be incapacitated to whatever degree, a judge is going to have a hearing about it, and the judge will hear testimony and evidence and make a decision as to whether or not, number one, Aunt Sally is incapacitated, and number two, if she is, to what degree is she incapacitated. And the judge is looking at three basic areas for Aunt Sally. One is finances. Can she manage her money? Can she make decisions about finances? Can she still contract? Can she enter into an agreement of any kind financially? Can she manage her bills? The second is medical. Can she make decisions, sophisticated decisions about medical matters? If there's a problem that she has, can she intelligently speak with her doctors and come up with a decision about it? And the third is social. And when it comes to social, it's a question of where is she going to live and who is she going to socialize with? Now, that seems like pretty simple stuff, but we have silver alerts throughout the state all the time where seniors are getting lost and wandering off, and in some cases, people need to have some restrictions placed on their goings and comings in order to simply protect them. So all of those areas are going to be looked at by a court, and a decision is going to be made about whether or not Aunt Sally can do any of those things. Once that happens, then the court looks next to see whether or not a guardianship is necessary. And here's where less restrictive alternatives come into play. If Aunt Sally at some point had gone to a lawyer, gotten powers of attorney, gotten healthcare surrogate documents done, maybe created a revocable trust and named somebody as a successor trustee to herself, then they may not necessarily need be a guardian even if she's incapacitated. The court may simply turn over control to the people that she's already selected to take care of her if she needed somebody to help her.
So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight talking about guardianship. I'm here with Anthony Palmieri, who is the Deputy Inspector General and Chief Guardianship Investigator for the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller's Office. When we come back, I'm going to ask him to talk about what Mitch just said in terms of when things go wrong, what happens. And I'm also going to talk to Anthony about how guardianship differs both around the country and around the nation. And so if you're just tuning in, again, Anthony Palmieri, Deputy Inspector General, Chief Guardianship Investigator for the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller, and Mitch Kitroser, who is an elder attorney specializing in guardianship, amongst many other things, who is an expert in guardianship, as you just heard him explain that to you. If you just tuned in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We hear live now, 900 a.m., the talk of the Palm Beaches. And, of course, we replay around the country on Long Island and in Gainesville on Wednesday nights and back again here on in Palm Beach at 95.9 on Saturday morning. If you have questions about guardianship for either Anthony Palmieri or Mitchell Kitrosser, you can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm here tonight talking about guardianship with guardianship attorney and elder law attorney Mitchell Kitrosser and Anthony Palmieri, who is the Deputy Inspector General and Chief Guardianship Investigator for the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller's Office. And Anthony serves on the board of the Florida State Guardianship Association with me, so I know Anthony particularly well. He's an expert at this. In the previous segment, Mitch Kitrosser was talking about guardianship, how it happens, the protections that are in place. But sometimes things don't go really well, especially if you're reading the headlines in the Palm Beach Post. When they don't go well, the person who is the chief investigator of those and who finds out whether the complaints are legitimate or not is Anthony Palmieri. So, Anthony, Palm Beach County, and you in particular, and Clerk Bach, have been at the forefront of protection for people under guardianship. So explain how that process works.
Sure. Well, just continuing from Mitch's discussion on the proceedings, but so once a guardianship is adjudicated, the court has the ultimate oversight of the guardianship. And the way they maintain that oversight is the filing of guardianship reports. And it is the clerk's statutory duty to audit and investigate those reports, the reports including the annual accounting, the inventory, and a guardianship plan of the person. So we've been recognized as a best practice in this area, not only throughout the state of Florida, throughout the country, and internationally, because of our innovative program. And the basis of the program is that you can't professionally audit and investigate something unless you have independence. And since we're independent, since my boss, Clerk Sharon Bach, is independent, elected by the people of Palm Beach County, we have built-in independence for our program. You can't be a stakeholder and and objectively audit and investigate a guardianship. So we're not a party. We're not a stakeholder. We have no dog in the race on a guardianship proceeding. So that's why we've been.
But because of your cutting edge, leading edge, you have a hotline. You didn't mention that, but you do have a hotline. We'll give that number out soon. You have been assigned the task of leading the way in guardianship investigations for around the state. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly or not.
Yeah, this is an innovative program that we just started October 1st, and it makes our office, which is our clerk's office, is an accredited inspector general office. We're accredited by the Florida Commission for Law Enforcement Accreditation, and it makes our office responsible for statewide investigations of professional guardians. So the way that works is if someone has a legally sufficient complaint about a professional guardian, and that complaint is lodged to the Department of Elder Affairs up in Tallahassee, the Department of Elder Affairs will turn around and refer that complaint to our office. And then we will assign the investigation to one of six inspector general offices throughout the state. And we are serving as the administrative coordinator, the lead agency for this innovative program.
It's for those who are unfamiliar, I need to say this. The Palm Beach County Clerk and Controller, Sharon Bach, and Anthony Palmieri as her chief investigator, really are leading the way in protection for people under guardianship whenever there is the suspicion of wrongdoing. I can tell you from not firsthand knowledge on any case I've ever been on, but from observation and from experience, I need to let you know that these people really are out protecting what is in the best interest of the person under guardianship. And I'm going to come back and give other examples of that probably later in the show, but I want to switch over to Mitch again. Mitch Kittroser, as I said, is a guardianship attorney and elder law attorney. Mitch, we're talking about guardianship. We're talking about people under guardianship. There are some people who need guardianship only over their health care or over their finances, and there are people who don't need guardianship at all. What are some of the alternatives that people can avail themselves of? And how does – it's not – it doesn't have to be an all or nothing kind of thing. Am I right?
Absolutely not. First off, even if somebody has an incapacity, it doesn't necessarily have to be a full incapacity. There are some people that simply can't manage their finances by themselves and need a little help with that, but are perfectly capable of making medical decisions for themselves, deciding where they want to live and who they want to socialize with. And there are other people where the reverse is true and they need some help with medical and social decisions, but they're fine with their finances. One of the things that good estate planning attorneys can do is by preparing proper legal documents to obviate the need for guardianship in almost every circumstance. So, for example, if you were coming to me saying, I'd like an estate plan put together, a comprehensive estate plan, I would probably recommend to you that we create a revocable trust. You and your wife might be co-trustees. Your children might be successor trustees. You might name them as beneficiaries of the assets that are in your trust after the second of the two of you dies. And if you then take all of your assets and you put them in the trust, and one of you or both of you becomes incapacitated, well, your children would take over and run those assets for you, pay your bills, take care of your money, take care of all of your finances, and you wouldn't necessarily need a guardian to handle your money. Likewise, we could name – spouses typically name each other and then their children as healthcare surrogates for them to make a healthcare decision if they can't make it themselves. And again, that obviates the need for a medical guardian of any kind, because you've already named the people in your life that you want to serve. There's no reason at that point for court oversight. There's no reason for anyone to get involved in your personal affairs. You've already laid out for anyone that's interested in looking and needs to look, hospitals, banks, financial institutions, you've already laid out who you want to serve. And then your lawyer who prepared the documents will be the person that gets on the phone, make sure the documents get to the legal departments at the brokerage, at the bank, at the hospital, at the doctor's office, and make sure that they're complied with. And all of that is just good, simple estate planning and alleviates, in most cases, the need for guardianship.
And we're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk about a special trip that the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller Sharon Bach and Anthony Palmieri took to Berlin, Germany, the only representative of the United States. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about exploitation. We're going to talk about when guardianship is the only solution to the family infighting. And we're going to talk about so much more, so you're not going to want to leave. But if you're just tuning in, this is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom, here tonight with Anthony Palmieri, who is the Deputy Inspector General and Chief Guardianship Investigator in the Clerk and Comptroller's Office for Palm Beach County, and Mitchell Kittrosser, who is a guardianship and elder law attorney here in Palm Beach. If you're listening on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches, we're glad that you're here. If you're on Long Island or in Gainesville, it's Wednesday night. I hope you're having a great night. And, of course, if you're listening on the Palm, it's Saturday morning. So it's all great. If you have questions for my guests or for me, you have plenty of time to give us a call at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Tino Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Tino, you guys are really going above and beyond when it comes to training your staff for Alzheimer's care.
So, Mike, a lot of people complain about their caregivers being on the phone all day. At Comfort Care, we are training our caregivers to keep your loved ones active, engaged, and stimulated.
And Tino, what are some of the things you're doing to make your caregivers better equipped to take care of people with Alzheimer's?
So twice a month, I'm bringing our caregivers in to our office for specialized training on behavior modification and cognitive stimulation activities designed to keep your loved ones active when the caregivers are there staying with them. We find caregivers respond favorably when they have the tools at their disposal to take care of your loved one. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of your life. So let our family take care of your family. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking about guardianship tonight with really two experts in the world of guardianship from different perspectives. Mitchell Kittrosser is an attorney specializing in guardianship and elder law, and so many other estate planning issues, end-of-life issues. Anthony Palmieri works for the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller as the Deputy Inspector General and Chief Guardianship Investigator. So neither of them themselves is a guardian, nor do they play one on TV. They are, however, intimately involved in the world of guardianship from different perspectives. So we're trying to give everybody, you know, kind of a fair sense of what guardianship is about without anybody who has a particular dog in the race, as you said before. Anthony, I mentioned before the break that only one person, one group, was selected from the United States to go to Germany to represent the United States in guardianship issues at, I think, the World Congress. Is it the World Congress?
Yeah.
In Berlin. And that was the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller,
Sharon Bach and yourself. So tell us a little bit about that experience and tell us about how guardianship differs around the world than it does here. And are there any things that we can learn or are they trying to learn from us?
Sure. So the Fourth World Congress was in Berlin, Germany, and it was in September. And the clerk's guardianship fraud program won a poster depiction contest. And we were one of nine winners, the only U.S. Winner, as you were saying. And one of the benefits of winning is we had the opportunity to travel to Germany and participate with the World Congress with about 400 guardianship experts and stakeholders from around the world. There were, multitude of countries represented, Japan and Sweden and a lot of other countries. And, we got to, speak with, guardians and attorneys from around the world. And I think that the striking thing about, being in that setting with all these experts from around the world, what the striking thing was how similar things were. We all have aging issues. We all have an aging population. But I think Florida, with our demographics, we're a little bit ahead of the curve. So that's one of the reasons why the clerk's program is being recognized as a best practice, because the issues that the world and the rest of the country are working on now in the next 5 years, we've already been addressing since 2010, 2011.
Mitch, we talked about it when I introduced you both coming out of this last commercial break. I said that neither of you are professional guardians. There are any, and I guess both of you, but I'll ask you first, Mitch. There are a lot of stakeholders in the world of guardianship. This is not just the ward and the guardian. There are a lot of people that circle the guardianship process. Can we talk to that a little bit?
Well, there's a number of people that serve different roles in a guardianship. There is certainly in many, many cases, an incapacitated person presents to the court with a level of financial assets, and there may be a financial advisor involved there. There are relatives who may or may not be partially or fully financially dependent on an incapacitated person. Think a special needs child of an aging adult who might be dependent financially on their parent, and suddenly their parent has problems and can't take care of themselves. There's the guardian themselves, who, as Anthony said, in many, many cases, most cases, is a family member, but may not be the only family member. And there's the potential there for some conflict. Maybe there's sibling rivalry, and one child wants to be guardian, and another doesn't want to be guardian, or doesn't want their brother or sister to serve alone, doesn't necessarily trust them. Mommy liked you best situations. There are other situations where there's a child who's never left home or moved back home and has taken care of mom or dad for a number of years and suddenly sees the world changing and their own lifestyle at risk. There's situations where one parent is incapacitated and the other is not, and maybe they're looking at needing nursing home care for someone, and they have to plan using Medicaid planning techniques and whatnot.
And we're going to talk about Medicaid plannings. Anthony, in addition to the ward and the guardian, there's the judge. Everybody's represented by an attorney. There are the protections of people like yourself. Am I missing other stakeholders that I didn't say anything?
Well, in the investigations that we perform, the other stakeholders are law enforcement, state's attorney's office, the Office of Public and Professional Guardians through the Department of Elder Affairs. A lot of what we're talking about are the court proceedings. But if you look at things in actuality, that's a very small slice of the whole guardianship, universe, with all the stakeholders. So.
It's really fascinating. I think there are perceptions versus reality. People don't fully understand. I think what I said earlier, Mitch, you said it when we opened up the show tonight, about we really are in guardianship the day we're born because our parents make all our decisions for us. I had never heard it explained that way before, but that's true. We didn't have the ability to do that. So I have a lot more to ask my guests. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about guardianship. We're going to talk about elder fraud exploitation as it relates to guardianship when it comes out, and not just in guardianship, because it is a big part of the story. Even families who do a fair amount of planning can get caught up in an exploitive situation, either with family members or outsiders. We all have horror stories. We want to talk about some of the telltale signs and some other conversations that we should have. If you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We are here every Monday Night Live on 900 AM, the talk of the Palm Beaches. We are also on 104.9 in Gainesville every Wednesday night at 8. We're at 103.9 on Long Island, Long Island's Talk Radio, also every Wednesday night. And we're here back on 95.9 The Palm every Saturday morning. If you are a new listener, we're glad that you're here. We talk about a lot of different things on this show about boomers and their parents and things that you need to be aware of and perhaps might be forced to address. I'm going to talk to you about the next couple of weeks' shows before the end of the show. We are glad that you're here. If you're a regular listener, we're especially glad that you're here and that you continue with us. If you have questions for my guests, there is still time. You can call us at 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Scott, caregiver stress is really a silent killer, isn't it?
It really is, Mike. The statistics are astounding. Nearly 64% of family caregivers taking care of somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia without having outside help will predecease their loved one who has Alzheimer's and dementia. The stress of taking care of a loved one with a chronic disease can take a terrible toll, and the need for a respite is never more apparent than when you're feeling the most stressed.
So, Scott, your services can be provided for just a couple of hours a day so we can live our normal life.
Yes, Mike. Even a couple of hours away from the family member who is struggling with a chronic disease can give you the break that you need to take care of yourself. Get your hair done, go out and play cards, maybe a round of golf, go see a movie. All of these are things that will help you take care of your loved one better if you're in a better frame of mind. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us, 561-630-1620.
I'm here with Allison Negri of Comfort Care Senior Services. And Allison, Comfort Care is a family-owned and operated business.
We are, Mike. It's myself, my husband Tino, and my parents Irene and Scott. We're all thoroughly involved in the day-to-day operations of the business. So many of our clients' families do not live locally and therefore count on us to be their local eyes and ears. Every one of our clients has access to an owner day or night, and we do monitor our office phones 24 hours, 7 days a week by a member of our office staff.
So, Allison, family's very important to you guys at Comfort Care Senior Services.
It really is, Mike. I was very involved with my grandmother before she passed away, so we understand how important it is for everyone in the family, not just the senior needing care, to be a part of the equation. We talk to family members on a regular basis. After all, at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines your quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. We are here tonight with Anthony Palmieri and Mitchell Kitroser. Anthony is the Deputy Inspector General and Chief Guardianship Investigator for the Palm Beach County Clerk and Comptroller's Office. And Mitch Kitroser, I did it. I did it all night. is the managing attorney of Kitroser and Associates.
It's a law firm specializing in guardianship and elder law, wills, trusts, etc. I'm going to give you contact information for both before the end of the show, so please get a pen and paper handy if you want to reach them directly. We are, as I said, talking about guardianship tonight. One of the things that the bad press of late has highlighted is abuses, but that is a very small part of the world of elder fraud, abuse, and exploitation. So let's talk about that both from a guardianship perspective and just in general. So I'll open it up to both of you to talk about it. So I think you're up, Mitch.
All right, I'll take lead on this. There's certainly situations where guardians abuse their position, and the term of art is fiduciary. When you're a guardian, you're a fiduciary, just as you're a fiduciary if you're a trustee. And what fiduciary means is you're responsible for somebody else's property, you're responsible for their money, and you're supposed to take care of it the way they would want you to, the way a reasonably prudent person would do it. You can't steal it. You can't use it for yourself. It's theirs, and you need to remember that. And certainly Anthony gets involved in situations where that's not what happens in guardianship. But a lot of the cases that we see that are guardianship cases – come to us after there's already been exploitation. Guardianship is probably the place where exploitation, I would venture to say, happens the least. And the reason I say that is because there's already court oversight. There's already an auditor reviewing everything financial in a guardianship case. There's an inventory that gets filed. There's an accounting that gets filed every year. We do that with our guardians. And they have to tell the court and the people that work for the comptroller every dollar they've spent, they have to justify it. And where things go awry, where there's money spent that shouldn't be spent, that's when Anthony gets involved and his people get involved, and they question what a guardian's done. The problems occur before guardianship. Most of the problems happen before there's any oversight at all. So we see elderly people in our community who are being scammed by lottery frauds, by strangers who come in, by neighbors, by friends, by family. And it's a situation where generally the guardianship occurs because the person is running out of money, because the person clearly is a vulnerable adult in the community and has already been taken advantage of.
And that really goes to the point about abuse and exploit. By definition, we are dealing with vulnerable adults who are perhaps not prepared or afraid to tell us, particularly in the case of family issues, either before guardianship or after guardianship. You know, Anthony, I know this is near and dear to you as well. You want to add some color to what Mitch was talking about?
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of media coverage of the guardianship system in Palm Beach County, and you know, I'm not able to talk about specific cases, but I like to draw a distinction between what an accredited investigator, again, the Clerk and Comptroller's Division of Inspector General is accredited by the Commission for Law Enforcement Accreditation, and you know, professional standards for investigating are different than a media type investigation. So if we are investigating a guardianship and there's elements of criminal fraud, that is referred to law enforcement and ultimately the state attorney's office. If we can document a case, and we will move forward with that.
So both of you, although somewhat differently, you, Anthony, from a guardian's perspective, either family and or professional or public guardian, so you are already dealing with guardianship abuse. But oftentimes, Mitch, people come to you because families can't get along or there is suspected exploitation or fraud. So we all, you know, I think it's important for us to get out there. We all want to protect the vulnerable adult. We all want to put on the best
we can to ensure that the best interest of that vulnerable adult is protected. Are there simple signs that something's going wrong? I know the whole show is not about exploitation, and that isn't the purpose of our talking tonight. But are there a few signs that we should be watching out for really, really carefully and notify people? And we're going to talk about how to notify people in a minute.
Different people see different things. Different people in the community see different things. Certainly, if your loved one suddenly has a new friend who's paying their bills, that's something that ought to be looked at. Bankers typically see elderly people come into the bank and maybe they're withdrawing $200, $300, $400, $500 a day, a couple, three times a week with a caregiver in tow, maybe a stranger in tow, and the banks are reluctant to make reports. They don't want to annoy their clientele. But that's certainly an area where a little careful looking into is a good idea. Sometimes it'll be a child who comes back into town after being away for 20, 30 years and suddenly moves in with mom or dad late in life, and the siblings are alerted to a potential problem there. There's always some level of static and stress when you have a second marriage and children by a first marriage. Even if there's a prenuptial agreement and a second marriage, you still have the potential for money to move from one spouse to another. And we see that happen later in life when people become vulnerable. The spouse suddenly starts to take money or encourage their loved one to start moving money. Well, I know you said that what's yours is yours and what's mine is mine, but we've been married for 15 years, and after all, I'm entitled to something. And it's that entitlement thing that starts to creep into these relationships.
So
things go awry.
So if it's in the world of guardianship where we suspect something is awry, how do they reach you?
Sure. Well, the clerk has a guardianship fraud hotline. We were the first in the country to have such a hotline dedicated to and specializing in guardianship fraud. And they can, concerned citizens can call 561-355-FRAUD, which is 3728. I'll say that again. It's 561-355-3728.
And you have for other information about not just guardianship, but the work of the clerk and comptroller, you have a very robust website. Do you want to give that out?
Sure. It's www, and then it's mypalmbeachclerk.com.
And it's I can tell you I've used it for other things, and it's great.
And Facebook.
And Facebook as well. Sure. That's right. I forgot about that. And Mitch, how do people reach you for elder law issues?
Well, they can certainly call our office. Our number is 561-721-0600. And we also have a website, www.kitroserlaw.com, and there's a lot of information on there that they're welcome to.
Kit Roser is KITROSER for those who don't know. And I'll give you a chance to give those numbers out one more time before we go. In the spirit of full disclosure, I know both these men well. Mitch has represented me and my family, and so I can only recommend him incredibly highly. He's represented our business and my family. And I have known Anthony for 4 or 5 years now in the world of guardianship. These people care. They both care, and they have your best interest at heart. If you just tuned in and you missed the beginning of the show and you're sorry that you did, you should be. But the good news is that you can get the show by podcasting. If you're a podcaster, you just have to search OMG I'm Getting and up we will pop. This show and all of our previous shows are there. Of course, all of our shows are also on my website, palmbeach.comforcare.com. Palm Beach, one word, .comforcare, comforcare.com. If you don't have a radio and you wish you did because you want to listen to the show, there are no longer any excuses. You can download a free app on your smartphone, the TuneIn Radio app, and you can set an alarm and a reminder, 900 a.m. The Talk. We're on every Monday night at 5:06. We hit the ground running. Of course, if you're on Long Island or in Gainesville, you can set it for your local station at the times that we're on. We also simulcast. We are on www.900thetalk.com. We broadcast on the web live when we're doing the show at both locally, statewide, nationally, and internationally. Next week, we're going to be talking about Parkinson's disease next week. Rebecca Hahesi from the APDA, which is the Parkinson's Disease Association, is going to be my guest. You're not going to want to miss this show. Rebecca is very, very smart. Parkinson's is a very misunderstood chronic disease, one that you should learn more about, because there are some very rapid advances happening now, and there are treatments out there. It is a tragic disease, but it doesn't have to be. An early diagnosis and treatment can make a difference. So you're not going to want to miss next week's show when Rebecca Hahesi will be talking about Parkinson's. In 2 weeks, Dr. Joseph Ricotta is going to be here. He is the medical director of vascular surgery at Delray Hospital. We're going to be talking about all these robotic procedures that are currently being done with the Magellan robot. Frankly, I can't wait to speak to him, because things that used to take days and weeks and months to recover from, now we're done outpatient with robotics. It's astounding. And he is the medical director of that practice for both Delray Medical Center and for the Tenet hospitals in the area. So it's not a show that you want to miss as well. My guest for tonight, though, we have a couple of minutes left, Anthony Palmieri and Mitchell Kitrosa. Mitchell is the founder and managing attorney for Kitrosa & Associates, a law firm that specializes in guardianship and elder law. And Anthony Palmieri is the deputy inspector general and the chief guardianship investigator in the clerk and controller's office. We don't have a lot of time. We really don't. Who pays for guardianship? I probably didn't leave enough time to answer this question. But it's not free unless you're broke, right? Unless you're indigent. Right?
If you're broke, it's free. The short answer to it is the incapacitated person, if there's a guardianship, will be the person who pays the cost of guardianship.
Right.
If the person is broke, then the county will pay for it.
All right. Anthony, why don't we tell people how, if they know people in guardianship and have some concerns about how that's unfolding, how do they reach your hotline and your fraud?
Sure. So citizens that have concerns, and we're not just talking about guardians, but anybody in the guardianship process, attorneys, caregivers, anybody can call the clerk's inspector general, the guardianship fraud hotline, and that's 561-355-FRAUD, which is 3728.
And Mitch, if people have some questions and concerns about elder law issues and other things that you specialize in, how can they reach you?
They can call me at 561-721-0600. And if they mention this show, they'll get a free consult.
That's great. So many things I wanted to talk about tonight that I didn't get a chance to talk about. Anthony, I wanted to talk about your experience in Nevada. I'm sorry that we didn't do that. Mitch, I know we wanted to talk about Medicaid planning in the world of guardianship and in just your basic general practice. Neither of that did we get time for. I'm hoping that I can talk you both into coming back someday and doing another show, because you were really, really fascinating guests. And so I want to thank you both for being here. It's terrific.
You're welcome. I'm happy to come back.
Terrific. So anyway, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We are here every Monday night. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. It runs the gamut from medical to guardianship. We talk about all sorts. Sometimes we talk about some fun things. We're going to be talking about any host of things in the year to come. It's going to be a very exciting year. We have a lot of interesting things on the horizon. We are live every Monday night at 5 o'clock on 900 AM, the Talk of the Palm Beaches. We also rebroadcast in Gainesville on 104.9, the Gainesville Talk Radio station. We also are on 103.9 Long Island's Talk Radio every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock. And, of course, we rebroadcast on 95.9 The Palm every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I want to once again thank Ibis Country Club for inviting me to speak about Alzheimer's and dementia this past week. It was really terrific. I'm actually going to be at Ibis again Wednesday night from 3 to 6. If you're in that community, you can come by the health fair and you can talk to me. I will be there. I'm excited about doing that. And, guys, I just want to thank you again for being here. It's been wonderful and appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much. much, Scott. On behalf of the clerk, thank you for inviting us.
And please give the clerk my very best. This is, of course, Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom. We're looking forward to you coming back next week when we talk about Parkinson's disease with Rebecca Hahesi. We'll see you next week at 5 o'clock on 900 AM, The Talk of the Palm Beaches. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Have a good night, all.